You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Eurobash. It's episode 42, and we are International Fight Week bound. We are in International Fight Week.
It doesn't feel like a PT. I made that point there on Twitter today. It really just doesn't have any sort of feel to it coming into it. And I think especially over here as well, because we have the pay-per-view to look forward to this weekend, 30 quid. I'm not feeling it, man.
And I'd just like to introduce my co-host, Niall McGrath. we had a bit of a mad week. I'm just back from London. And I think one of the most memorable Cage Warriors events in a long, long time. Night of Champions, absolutely unbelievable. We had the UFC card, which Niall McGrath is going to tell you all about because I was a busy bunny, unfortunately. But will I just take a quick run at these headlines as usual, Niall?
Sure, why not?
And we can start complaining about that pay-per-view in a few minutes.
Why not? Let's do it.
So Nicholas Dalby and Ross Houston in a fight for the ages in the unification bout at the top of that Night of Champions card. Amazing amount of traction coming off the back of that. Of course, it was stopped due to the vinyl surface becoming unplayable due to the amount of bloodshed. One of the most unbelievable things I've ever seen in my life. It was,
it was unprecedented, really. I've never seen anything like it.
But this is the thing, right? So everybody is standing around this medical room at the end of it. These are the most hardened people in MMA in Europe. And everyone's like giggling like schoolgirls and shaking their heads. Like usually, you know, when we're trying to get our work done. It's like, come on, let's get it over with. But this was like people just couldn't stop talking. And I mean, the talk has continued. We're well into Monday night now and it's still really the talk of the town. Nicholas Dalby and Ross Houston and Nicholas Dalby's resurrection. Yeah. I mean, what did you think of that when you watched it at home? Is it as big as I feel it is? Because it feels huge to me.
I think even the way maybe the fight ended even made it a little bit bigger because it was such an unprecedented event.
There's no closure.
Yeah, and it put eyes of the world on it because this fight, people are going to tune in because they hear this fight stopped from literally too much blood in the cage. They're going to go, oh shit, man, I have to watch this stuff. Yeah. So you're going to go tune in and watch. And I guarantee you, probably more people tune in to Cage Warriors after the event was actually over and watch the back in the UFC fight. But I'd love to know the numbers. But I think it was big. And I think the fact Nicholas Dalby looked to be gaining quite a lot of momentum in the fight. I had a 10-8 round in that second round.
A lot of people told me that.
The two shots, the one that broke Ross Houston's nose and the two takedowns, really set the precedent for the end of that round. So I think, you know, Ross,
even without the blood, it was an amazing fight.
And I think, you know, the respect for each other they had as well was fantastic. You know, the piece you did was fantastic in ESPN.
Thanks very
by the
much.
Way I know you had a few issues but listen, you conveyed it perfectly, you put it across perfectly, and I think it's great that, you know, someone has got that access and showing what Cage Warriors have done for UFC talent and European talent, because it's very important. Without Cage Warriors, mate, we probably wouldn't even be covering this sport, and that's a fact.
And moving on from that, Joy Herbert, Mads Burnell, Samir Fadeen, and Modestus Bukauskas have been newly crowned Cage Warriors champions on the back of that event. We'll talk about that bit later. James Webb retains his middleweight title after fighting to a controversial draw with Natalius Frederick. Moving on from that, French MMA legalized. Beginning in January 2020, we can see some events there. And look, I can already hear Cage Warriors people talking about it, yeah, Bellator definitely. People talking about it. Everybody wants to do the first KSW, UFC, obviously. And imagine Franny Ngannou coming off that big win over Junior Dos Santos. I'm sure that would be huge if they could do something over there, you know. A lot of fights announced last week. I tried to keep on top of it. I probably missed a few, but here we go. Misha Serkinov v. Jim Crute. Glover Teixeira v. Nikita Krylov. Augusto Sakai v. Tabura. All set for September's Vancouver event. Next up, Volkan Ozdemir v. Latifi has been rebooked. Joaquin Silva v. Nazrat Haqparast and Mara Romero Barella v. Lauren Murphy and Antonina Shevchenko v. Lucy Pudilova and Darko Stosic v. Kennedy and Njoku and Claudio Silva v. EMF all booked for the Covington v. Lawler fight in New Jersey. I know you spoke to Colby Covington recently.
Yeah, very interesting.
Yes, and UFC Copenhagen has its first fight. Gunnar Nelson v. Thiago Alves. That is quite a tasty fight for a European event.
I do. I love it. I think it's you know, maybe the UFC are changing their stance in the European market. I doubt it. But listen. We, you know, that's a fight that is worthy of any main card on a pay-per-view. I love it. I think it's an explosive one for the fans. Hopefully, as I was tweeting today, maybe Nicholas Dalby gets added to the UFC Copenhagen card. I think it's a no-brainer because he's obviously from there.
And Mads Burnell possibly as well, you know. Yeah,
really good performance from Mads as well. But listen, I want to ask you, how did you enjoy the you were there?
Yeah,
it seemed pretty loud. There was a lot of cheering going on. I know Joy Herbert brought a big crowd up from Wolverhampton. Yeah. What was the atmosphere? What was everything like in the arena?
It was incredible. And you know, that arena itself, to book that place, I mean, you're walking around backstage and the history of the place is stunning, you know. Like, you're in VIP rooms where, you know, Paul McCartney and all these, the Rolling Stones and Frank Zappa would have been in. It's just, you can feel the history of the place. And to be honest, I got in on Friday and just watching the whole Cage Warriors team work, that was something that we wanted to have in the piece. But unfortunately, with the enormous amount of talk about the main event, the piece got kind of shaped into that. But unbelievable. I mean, from Matt Jones, the PR guy who's churning out all those videos, which of course lead to these brands being built. You know, you have Harry Fitzgerald who booked all the venue. You know, I'd say he was instrumental in getting it done. You know, I was speaking to Russ Abrams, should I say, and Donald Dollery, our friend Paul's father. Like, these guys, they're rigging up all the media rooms. It's just the way they all work together. Marsha, obviously,
very family sort of.
It's unbelievable. They all seem to love it, you know. And of course, Brad and Josh.
Yeah, great lads.
The synonymous with the brands. I thought they were brilliant at the weekend. What was it?
Unbelievable, about 100 times.
Yeah, but Samir Fadim, what did he say? Brad said about him, back flippery. It's the best word I've ever heard used on a broadcast, but. Yeah, you know, amazing. And look what Ian Dean did again. Yeah. You know, unbelievable. Like, yeah. I mean,
UFC matchmakers, I'd love to see him do the European cards and shows. I think it'd be, you know, we get a lot higher quality fights here in Europe, I think, if he was doing them.
Sometimes he does things that, you know, people don't even understand when it's made, but then it actually makes perfect sense at the end. You know what I mean? Like, it's unbelievable foresight.
Well, look what they've done with Joy Herbert after obviously losing to Reese McKee.
This is a perfect segue to our first guest.
There you go. That's what happened. He's been very sensible about the matchmaking. He's clearly studied a path to get him and Jack Grant to fight against one another, obviously with Reese moving to welterweight. So, you know, extremely clever matchmaking from him. They want their biggest stars, the biggest guys, the best fighters in their main events, and we definitely got that on Saturday. I thought Joy was fantastic.
Yeah, he's unbelievable. And like, it, as I say to him in this interview, it's coming up. I felt that we need to talk to Joy and James because, you know, I did speak to Russ and Nick straight after, as everyone saw. So I felt like I really wanted to get their take. And one thing that people might forget about Joy is, you remember this, that Bama took him off a card because he didn't sell enough tickets once.
Yeah, we went mad about that on our old show we used to do. And
but how good must it feel for him? Like,
two fingers back up at these guys going, listen,
you... I bet the best prospect in the UK. I am the best prospect in the UK, pretty much, is what that says.
You know? And you heard him on the mic after, and I think he's becoming more and more polished every time you see him. Like, it's mad. Like, you look at what he's done again, and it wasn't even the striking that I was impressed by. It was, again, his defence was you know, incredible, and how well he was
willing to engage Jack on the ground. So Jack is an animal. Yeah. Like, he's an absolute savage. And the real talk of the town, obviously, was in the lead up to it, as we had Graham on the show last week, and he was saying, you know, five guys were likely to, you know, be on the UFC's radar very prominently here.
Definitely.
And the talk in the town was Jack Grant 100% getting signed if he wins that fight.
Yeah, and
they were the whispers going around. And when you're Joey Herbert, you must be rubbing your hands together thinking about that, you know?
Yeah, definitely. And listen, if they're not watching him before last Saturday night, they're certainly watching him now because it was a phenomenal performance. And, you know, as I was saying there, most polished. He didn't actually even seem that happy afterwards.
I even said to him on the phone there today. I was like, you know, he actually seems so electric when he's being interviewed straight after. Yeah. He's going to like, oh, what's the crack today?
I wasn't really happy. But that just shows you how, you know, competitive these guys are. If there's little things going wrong, that they feel as though maybe they could have done a little bit more.
Yeah, well, they're unbelievable. Like, I mean, the talent there, to stand out on that card was very difficult.
Definitely.
You know what I mean? Like, the fact that Nicholas and Ross steal all the headlines and you have a performance from Jory like that, you have a performance from Mads like that. You know, James Webb and Frederick was an insane fight.
Yeah, it was.
The traction online while that was going down was insane. And to be fair, Samir and Modestus Bukauskas, they completely upset the apple cart with those wins. I know Joy did as well, but not to the extent of these guys. Everybody thought Martin Hamlet was going to win that title. Everybody expected Sam Creasy to win that title. Just unbelievable, man. It's absolutely unbelievable. Did I forget our last headline? Did I name that Norman Park is fighting Zielkowski for the KSW 50?
No, you didn't.
So what did you think of that? Because we didn't know because of these catchweight fights he was having and stuff like that. And obviously, Gamrot's in a bit of a impasse there with KSW now. How like the fact that he is at this contract situation, is that a big blow to KSW? I don't know, because they produce so much talent now.
Yeah, I don't know.
That it's like, do they need him that badly anymore?
I think maybe.
Probably huge for Poland.
But he puts eyes on it as well, Norman. Norman doesn't like these guys. He doesn't like a lot of these guys who he's fighting against. You know, that's a storyline. It's a bit of traction. It's a bit of eyes. It's a bit of interest. And I think Norman is that kind of guy that creates that tension. That you put him in a melting pot and it'll bloody explode. You know what I mean? That's Norman. He's an unpredictable guy. We know that very well. I'm just worried about Norman in terms of, you know, is he training the whole time? Is he looking after that weight? It's still a concern for me.
He hasn't looked bad. Like, I mean, he's looked really good in some of the fights. Like,
really good.
You know, so it's hard to know. Like,
he's just a natural beast. But I think if maybe, I know he's a kid and all, he's very busy. But you just wonder sometimes. You know, there was talks, you know, he had thoughts of retirement. Is that hunger, is that desire still there to really compete at a higher level? Or is it just about the book for Norman?
It just a negotiation tactic at this stage,
there
you know? Actually, interesting, now that I bring it up, I don't have it down on the list, but I watched it before it came up. Did you watch Darren Till's interview with Jim Edwards for Fighters Only?
Saw it as it was coming in here. We're actually recording the podcast somewhere different today. So I saw it just as it was coming in here. And
I was actually quite...
I just flicked through it.
I like the honesty. Like, I mean, he's kind of saying, I think Jim put to him, like, are you back now? And he was saying, I said I was back after I lost to Tyron Woodley, so I was obviously not, I was lying then.
No, well, I like what he said in terms of him taking a little bit of time out to find himself, really, is what he was saying. He's just doing, you know, if I'm not 100% committed to going to the gym, I'm not going to go to the gym. And I like that.
Yeah.
Because...
And he also said ahead of the Masvidal bout, he was kind of like, I was fully switched on, I was going to the gym every day, but after the sessions... That's when I kind of, he said I was probably only 50% outside of the gym, you know, because he was staying in the casinos and stuff like that. I love that honesty. That honesty says to me that
I just hope he learns from it.
Yeah, but like the honesty is showing me that he is thinking about it. He is having that conversation with himself. And to be honest, I think like, you know, he spoke about the Tenerife incident, the course. Exactly, like that stuff's hard to talk about.
It is,
you know, when he's talking about all the attention and people shitting on him online and how it doesn't really faze him, but sometimes it just gets the better of you. I think it was a very good interview. And
I listened to, I didn't actually, I'm going to sit down maybe this evening or tomorrow and listen to it.
Yeah.
It through whole. I haven't had a proper chance to analyse it, listen to it. But I just hope Darren takes a little bit more time out. I've said this, you know, every week I seem to say this if his name comes up. Take a bit of time out, get the head right, you know, as he said there, do what you want to do for a while, then get back in, full commitment. And I just hope he's learned from that. I hope, you know, sometimes you go, you know, maybe he's going to go down the route of, you know, becoming a party boy and that sort of lifestyle. I think it'd be a real shame if he did. Hopefully Darren gets this sword and gets back in there. I hope for 185 as well, man. I don't want to see him at 170 anymore.
Yeah, I don't know. I know there was a question about that, but I was kind of pottering around trying to get the podcast together, so I didn't. I don't think he made a commitment either way.
Yeah, I don't imagine.
Also like, you know, a young guy with a new child. Like, there's so much stuff. Yeah, it's man. a lot to balance, and
just the eyes that are on him as well. You know, he'd be recognised now everywhere he probably goes in Liverpool. So
yeah, it's the same thing with Paddy Pimble. I used to say to him, if I was you when I was 21, I'd be dead already.
I know, I would.
But look, we'll get on to the first interview of the day. It's the new Cage Warriors lightweight champion, Mr. Joey Herbert. An absolute pleasure to have him on the show for the first time. Really great to speak to him. I had two brilliant errors in the interviews this week. One is that I thought that Joey's ring name was the Black County Badger. It's actually the Black County Banger. Yeah, he was like, what is wrong with you, man?
The Black County Badger. Are you that stupid?
No, I was like, what does that mean, Joey? He's like, man, it's the banger. And I was like, oh, for
Badger. Holy God.
Oh, man. Well, look, I'm happy for y'all to laugh at me. Don't worry about that. We'll get on to Joey now. We'll be back in about 15 minutes. Love yous loads. And now I am joined by the newly crowned Cage Warriors lightweight champion, a man who has been so resurgent under the banner. It's been a sight to behold. It's Mr. Joey Herbert. How are you, sir?
I'm ecstatic, mate. I'm freaking buzzing. Buzzing, man. How are you?
I'm good. But enough about me. You're the guy everybody wants to hear from. Let's talk about the performance first of all, because it was stunning. I mean, there was some grappling exchanges in the early round, and then in the second round, you just took hold of the contest. Your striking was absolutely unbelievable. Your jab was fantastic. You weren't afraid to mix it on the ground with Jack Grant, who we know is a grappling mastermind, really, for a guy his age. He's unbelievable. How satisfied are you with that performance, Joey?
I'm really happy with it, you know. I was well prepared, you know what I mean? I've been preparing for weeks for this fight, you know what I'm saying? Not even for weeks, really. I've been preparing for years for like these defining fights, you know what I mean? These big events. And you know, I was in the gym training in these situations. So when I was in there, you know, it was just second nature to me. But I'm really happy with the performance, you know what I mean? And so I'm glad that I showed that, especially in the grappling exchanges, that I could hang in there with him. And not just hang in there with him, I looked, you know, when I was on the floor with him, and when I was in his guard, you know, there's one point where I was hitting him, I landed a few elbows, a couple of good strikes, you know, I was hanging him in there, I was being dominant on the ground with him as well. You know what I mean? So I'm just proving that I'm up there with the top fighters now.
Absolutely. And one thing I said to you, I spoke to you briefly outside the hotel yesterday before we headed on. One thing I heard before this card was a lot of people were saying that Jack is knocking right on the door. He's right on the door of the UFC. And if he got that title, there was a very good chance that he would be signed. After the fact, and now that you have won in such a dominant fashion, I mean, you took over the fight in the second and third. How do you feel about your proximity to UFC? Because as we know, Graham Boylan had said it before the event. He expected maybe up to five guys to get a call after this fight within a few weeks. Do you feel that? Do you feel like this belt is the thing that will put you on the radar for the UFC?
Is that what he said about five guys? Is that what he said?
He said up to five people. And look, we know that the path between Cage Warriors and the UFC has been set in stone for a very long time now. So that's just what I wanted to ask you about, really.
Like I said, I have a couple of people. I've had loads and loads of messages on Facebook, on Instagram, and everything. There's a couple of people as well in the MMA media. And they've said to me, like, you know, Jack was meant to be getting the call-up after he won this fight, you know, because a lot of people thought he was going to win. But people close to me and people who are training with him, they were very, very confident, especially my coaches, that they knew that I was going to do it, you know what I mean? I knew I was going to do the business. But like I say, a lot of people said that after he won this fight or whatever, he was going to get the call-up. But then, obviously, I won in such a dominating fashion. You know what I mean? I think it's time. I got the shout, you know what I'm saying?
Yes, because you've taken his momentum, right? You've taken that momentum that he has gathered. And you know, I always remember an interview I did with Phil DeFries, the KSW heavyweight champion, where he said, this is like Highlander. When you kill the other guy, you take all his experience. And when you have done that, you've taken all his momentum. You've taken his alignment with the UFC, as far as I'm concerned.
Do you know what, as well? I'm glad that it wasn't like a a 1 minute, not quick or 30 second knockout.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
Or you're glad you overcame adversity.
Yeah, and I'm glad it was a three round fight. Do you know what I mean? It went three rounds, and I showed, you know, I was in a couple of bad situations. I got out of them easily. You know what I mean? He put the pressure on. I handled it, and I picked him apart. So like I was glad that I showed that, like, you know, I outclassed him.
Mm.
That was better than like just getting a quick knockout, because then, you know, people still would have had questions.
Absolutely.
So I'm knocking on the door now. I think it's my time. I should get a shout.
I want you to cast your mind back to the Bama days, if you will, for me, Joey.
Yeah.
A story that a lot of people were very, very upset to hear about back then was the fact that you were taken off the card because I believe Bama didn't believe that you and Lewis Monarch had been selling enough tickets, if I remember correctly, for an event. I mean, how good does this feel now? You must feel like you are completely vindicated, and you must feel like you've proved a lot of people wrong by doing this.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? Do you know what? It's down to cage boys, really. I mean, they haven't really like bothered. They're not really bothered about me selling tickets or anything. Even though I do sell a decent amount of tickets, but they're just bothered about the talent. Cage boys.
They know how to nurture talent, don't they? They really do. Exactly. Like, I mean, yeah.
They haven't given me any easy fights. You know, I've had good fights. Do you know what I mean? And I've had like tough fights. I've had to show that, I've had to prove myself and that. But yeah, like I say, we Bama, like, you know, certain things. Like ticket sales, like me and Lewis weren't going to sell enough tickets, even though it was in Newcastle. And I think
what
Lewis
a fight that would have been, man. Like,
it would have been a good fight, you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
It would have been a cracking fight. But, that's what they said to me. Oh, yeah, we had to cut one of the lowest ticket sellers or something. I was thinking lowest ticket sellers. My last fight, I sold about 100 tickets or something in Birmingham. I was thinking, what are you on about? But I was just like, you know what? But then, like I say, Cage Warriors, that's all they care about is the talent, you know what I mean? And, look where I am now. So I'm glad that it's all happened for a reason, hasn't it? You know what I mean? At the end of the day. So yeah.
Is it an emotional thing when you reach this milestone? I mean, I know you have plans for doing much more, obviously, in MMA.
You know,
but was it an emotional thing?
Do you know what? It was. It's mad because I was really, really confident. Like before it, and like, you know, a couple of times a week, weeks before, it was a bit of emotional. You know, like especially when I've had to go. You know, like been working and training, it's getting hard and that and everything. I'm thinking to myself, I'm 31 now. You know what I mean? I need this win. Because if I lost this, it would have put me back a bit. And I'm not getting any younger. And you know, I've had to have another three fights or four fights before I get another title shot, and then to get another chance to get in the UFC. So I was all these things were going in the back of my head, and I was thinking, nah, man, I need to win this fight. I have to win this fight if I want to get in the UFC. You know, and chase my dream. You know what I mean? I need to win it. So it was like I had a lot of pressure on myself going into it, but then close to the time, especially on the day, you know, I just thought, nah, he's not taking this away from me. This is mine. I knew I was gonna win. So then when I won, I wasn't like that, like, I wasn't burst into tears or anything, because I just knew it was my time, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I'm babbling on a bit there, but like,
No. I'm very happy with your rabbles, believe me, Joy. But it's funny you say that about the work thing, because I was looking at your WhatsApp status and it just says at work, and that feels like you always are, one way or the other, at work, in the gym or with your employment. Like, I mean, you told me on Sunday morning like you were going to be in work on Monday, right?
Yeah, I did tell you that, but to be honest, man, I got home on the night and my hands are still swollen.
Well, how dare you? Did you not go to work today, Joy? This is disgraceful.
No, I didn't, mate. I rang him up and I said, oh, can I come in tomorrow? My hands are swollen, man, they're killing me. He's like, yeah, don't worry, Joy. You can start on Tuesday.
Well, I'm sure they're terrified of you, man.
Nah, I'm a nice geezer, man. I'm not like that geezer anyway. So, like, everyone knows I'm sweet, like, you know what I mean?
Mm.
Just turn it on in the cage, you know what I'm saying?
I see your partner that's been by your side throughout your whole career, really, as far as I've been covering it anyway. What does that mean for you two guys? Like, I mean, you are so close. It just, you can even see it off. You just exude this kind of closeness. I mean, you must feel very, very proud that you can achieve this with her by your side.
Yeah, man. It's like this title isn't just like, it's not just me who's won it, you know what I mean? It's like, it's her as well. It's my coach, it's my team. That's what I feel like. You know, I know it's just me in the cage, like, but it's just a lot of people who put effort and time into me, you know what I mean? Like, rest of my girlfriends, you have to put up with, like, you know, not going out, just we've had to, like, you know, stop in and that. She's had to do all my food and that, and it's all about me all the time. You know what I mean? So, like, like at the end of the day, they'll be reaping the benefits too when I get in the UFC and I get, you know, start earning some big dough and that.
Was there ever? Hopefully. Oh yeah. Well, was there ever a time where, like, you know, she was like talking you out of retirement when all this bad stuff happened with Bama? When, you know, I'm sure, like, you know, we all have egos, and we like when they take a big knock like that, which I'm sure it was. A lot of people thought it was absolute garbage that happened. You know, I think the vast majority of people did. Was there ever a time where she told you, you know, believe in yourself, don't give this up yet? Like, was there ever a time where it was like that for you?
Nah. I mean, yeah, she was like, she's always been like, yeah, just, you know, just keep going, man, keep going, we're going to get there in the end. But we never thought, no, let's give up and that, you know what I mean? We've always, you know, kick on, man, push on and keep grinding. That's what I've done and look where I've got to.
Yes, absolutely. I wanted to ask you as well, Joy, obviously, Natalius and James Webb had a big fight that night, and I had James Webb on the show, so in the interest of balance, I know that I've seen Fabian tweeting about it, I've seen a lot of the guys from Renegade tweeting about it, and being on social media, they're not happy with how that went. What is the mood in the camp regarding that fight for you guys?
It's definitely got to have it. They've got to have the rematch, and it's got to be.
And I think it's going to be huge. I think the rematch, wherever it takes place, because, like, I mean, both these guys, right? They're very good fighters. We know that, but I've never seen as much traction for an Natalius fight or a James fight as was taking place when they fought. It was a pretty crazy fight, you know.
Yeah, it was a crazy. Listen, I was in the background. I was warming up in the back. Sorry, but I was still like looking at it on Emil's phone. Like, we're still watching it a bit. But look, you know, it was a lot of good grappling exchanges in it and that. And see the technique that Nat uses to stuff the takedown.
It's very unique. Like,
yeah, it is. But listen, you know, like, we was talking about this as well. Like, James held onto the legs at one point. And, you know, like, what was that fight the other day? Was it Rose Namajunas, yeah?
Oh, Rose, and Jessica Andrade.
Held onto the armbar.
Right, yeah.
It's got dropped on her head.
Right.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, yeah, no, I know legal. The technique. Right.
Now, he's just picked up his legs, and what, like, you meant to stuff the head, and then you sprawl out on the head. That's what he did. I think if you look at, like, on the first or second round, he did that technique then. But I think it was the fifth round, wasn't it? And, like, and I think he lifted up the legs a lot more, and then, like, James dropped on his head, but he had still had, like, holding at his legs. So,
right.
You know, I'm not
so
sure
you guys weren't too happy with that, because, I mean, like, as we can see at the judges' scorecards, when we look afterwards, that point basically cost Natalius the fight, as far as two of the three judges were concerned, you know?
Yeah, and I think as well, like, you know, at the end of the round, like, 2-3 minutes, James just sort of, like, laid in set, like, off guard and that, innit? And side control and stuff. We weren't doing nothing. He weren't, like, moving or nothing.
You guys felt he needed more activity, maybe land some shots or something?
They could have stood it up. Like, at the end of the day, they could have stood it up, but, like, we weren't really moaning about that because, like, you know, Natty could, you know, he could have worked more to get to his feet, he could save, but at the end of the day, James wasn't doing nothing on top. So I think that he could have stood it up, like, but I'm not a referee at the end of the day. Like, you know, Mark Goddard's a, you know, one of the top best referees in the world, so I ain't going to start saying he should have done this instead of that, like, so whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, and I appreciate you saying it. I appreciate you just giving the take, because I want, in the interest of balance, like, I mean, obviously James is going to be on saying he, you know, he agreed with it, and I knew you guys, so I did want to ask about it. But what I wanted to ask you next, Joy, was, what is next for you? Like, I mean, do you feel like there is a 155er there within Cage Warriors that you could defend against if this call doesn't come immediately? Or do you already have your eyes on UFC opponents at this stage?
Yeah, I'm already thinking UFC, to be honest with you. Because, like, I'm thinking, me and Jack, we were, like, clearly the best lightweights in the division.
I agree.
Clearly, you know what I mean? And then I outclassed him. For 3 rounds, you know what I'm saying? Total domination, really. So, like, who else is there, really? You know, there's a few good lads coming up. But I still think they need a couple of more fights, you know what I'm saying? But whatever, if I don't get the UFC shot, then I'll defend against whoever they want me to defend against. Like, at the end of the day, I never ducked a fight or anything. Look at my last few fights; they've been cracking fights.
Unbelievable.
McColgan, you know what I mean? He's a wicked striker. Then you got O'Keefe. His three fights before me, he was subbing people out in, like,
that's what was so impressive about it, man. Your fight against O'Keefe blew my mind because you literally took the one opportunity you had and finished that fight. It is actually mind blowing for me to watch that. I couldn't believe it. You know, it was so impressive, man.
Well, look, I sort of knew how it was going to go. He was either going to go me at the start, like pinging him quick, or he was going to get hold of me, get me down, and I was going to have to weather the storm. And then, you know, and then when I got to my feet, I heard was Breeze going, now make him pay. And then I just thought, stuck it on him. But I didn't want to get too close so he could close the distance on me and take me down again. So I stepped back and then I went in and I caught him in the knee. Like,
It's funny me talking to you now because you're obviously so calm. And as you said, everyone knows you're a sweet guy. But after win, man, the emotion, like you are on fire in that cage. I love it when they interview you for the post-fight interviews. Yeah. It's always so, it's like electric, you know?
Yeah, I'm always stopped babbling on. Some geezer put on Facebook the other day, freaking, good looking in UFC, Joy, but they're going to need subtitles for you.
They'll need to be ready for the beeper. Beep, beep, beep. What is the, can you tell me about the your ring name? What is it? The Black County Badger?
Black Country Banger? Like,
Banger?
Black Country. Yeah, Banger.
So, Jesus, I was like the Badger. I was like, what the fuck? I just read it wrong.
They call me the Cannon or the Black Country Banger. Because the Black Country is, I don't know if you know, it's a part in the Midlands, like.
Right.
Like Wolverhampton, West Brom, parts of Birmingham, Tipton, like, all around there, like.
That's a cool
called
name.
The Black Country. Like, that was a good Black Country Banger, like, so, yeah.
I can't believe I thought it said Badger. I'm very embarrassed. Well, look, Joy, that's all I have for you, man, and it's been an absolute pleasure to speak for you. I'm so happy for you, the fact that you've got to prove everybody wrong. We all knew what a talent you were, and my God, you're showing it now, man. I hope that call comes for you. I honestly do.
Oh, man, nice one, brother. Thank you very much for having me on.
I can't wait to see you fight next, whether it's in Cage Warriors, whether it's in the UFC or wherever it is. I can't wait to see it again. You're electrifying, man. Honest to God.
Nice one, brother. Thank you very much.
You enjoy the rest of your day and make sure you're not late to work tomorrow or else your boss is going to kill you.
Yeah, man, I will too.
All the best, man. Good. Bye-bye.
Say, bro. Catch you in a bit.
And fantastic to speak to Joy Herbert, the Black County Badger himself. I'm only messing, Joy. Don't bash me. But the Basher. The Banger? The Banger.
The Banger.
Jesus Christ. God, look, it's a good name. I'm not going to lie. I actually really like it. It's just it wasn't part of my vernacular before the weekend. Or was it until minutes ago? So what can you do? But great to hear from him. So I think he has such a good story, man. After all the crap that went down with Bama. Well, like what a fantastic not even resurgence, because he's lost like once, there's no point in calling it that, but just a great way to shut the critics up and show people what they're missing.
Definitely.
Listen, I did not see the UFC card. I've seen bits and pieces. I saw Big Franz knockout. What did you think of it? There was only two Europeans on the card, right?
Yeah, it wasn't the most electric card in the world, let's be honest, about a lot of decisions in there. But I think if we're gonna talk about the Europeans, it was a mixed night. And I think if we look at Paul Craig's fight against Alberto Meinfeld, you just have to go, what are you doing, Paul?
I saw it was a first round KO, right?
Yeah, exceptionally sloppy in my opinion, throwing a lot of spin and shit. Sort of look for the takedown, grinded on Meinfeld up against the cage for the early part of the first round, and then threw that spinning kick, sort of the first one sort of half landed, didn't really do too much damage, then tried it again, but it was like a half-ass effort, got his ass knocked out effectively 2 seconds after that. I don't know what you're doing if you're potentially fighting for a UFC career here.
Do you think so?
Yeah, you know, possibly you think, well, Paul, you know, it's been hit and miss, really. He's got no real momentum going in his UFC tenure. And are they really looking for guys like that in the light heavyweight division?
I think they need guys in the light heavyweight division.
Yeah, I think they need guys, but, you know, you always feel that with Paul, maybe, that, you know, is he really on that level? Sometimes, you know, some of the things he does in there, I don't know.
I'm looking at his record here just now in the UFC. He is 3-4. Like, I mean, it's not a winning record. I'm not trying to paint it up that way, but is that really enough to see someone unceremoniously?
Yeah, no, like, I don't like to, you know, telling the UFC to cook guys or anything like that.
But I see your point. I mean, the way you were talking about consistency, like, I mean, it's win loss, win loss.
That's what it is, and you need consistency. And when you're not showing consistency to a level that the UFC are going to look for, you know, are they going to keep you around? I'm not too sure. I think it's a lot more cutthroat maybe to certain divisions and certain fighters than it used to be in the UFC.
Yeah, absolutely. And you only have to ask Norman Park about that.
Yeah, that's
like,
true.
You know, like he was even thrown out like when it was pretty sound, the lads.
Yeah,
like,
it was ridiculous when they threw Norman out. Ridiculous.
What is it next for Big Fran? That's what I want to ask you. Yeah. Does he get the winner of the title fight?
Again, I think Junior Dos Santos was sloppy. If you look at that fight...
He turns away from him, right, before the blow lands. Is that correct?
Yeah.
He's nearly turning away.
Yeah, he did. But even before that, there was a lot of sort of feints and messing around. There was no real... He wasn't committing to anything. Mm-hmm. And he landed a few nice leg kicks earlier on as well. But ultimately, you saw he sort of turned away. It was a weird.
But the sound of his fists hitting... Yeah. This guy,
the hammer fist, then
is
just,
God,
it's pretty sickening. He's a sick individual.
I liked him getting in Dana's face and shouting at him afterwards. Yeah. I was like, yeah.
Yeah, well, like Dana's been very disrespectful to him, and he's not the only fighter, as we well know. That
Dana's a lovely man.
He's a lovely man, but you know, that's another thing. Maybe I'll probably just have a little bit of a rant here, but you know, Dana White signing this new contract. You know, the lack of real hype around the International Fight Week, even though it's a really, really good card. Is Dana like the man anymore? I just seem these incidents happening every other week with Dana, more so probably than ever. Where we're just going, we're questioning decisions. The fans are questioning decisions, and nothing's really getting done about it. I'd love to see a change in the UFC now, and I like, you know, I know it'd be a big risk the day it does finally happen, but it's not obviously happened for another 8 years or whatever the contract he signed is, but. Dana is disinterested than ever.
Every week I feel that there's something popping up that's making fans go, "Oh, what's his problem? Like, they need to get rid of him." Like lockdown was recent. The pay per view thing was recent.
Definitely.
So I mean, I don't know. I don't agree with a lot of stuff he does.
Tony Ferguson, you know, he's publicly disrespected him when he was interim champion. He's, you know, gone off on Ngannou. He's gone off on Colby Covington, basically said, you know, he got offered a lot of fights. Colby said it's the complete opposite. Colby said he's back on good terms with Dana now. I spoke with him there during the week. And, you know, he thinks maybe...
Should get Trump to have a word, man.
Yeah, he should. But he thinks maybe the power is out of Dana's hands. Maybe it's more WEMEIMG's
hands. It's probably a good point.
It probably is.
But do you think WEMEIMG are saying don't sign Brendan?
Yeah, well, that's true.
That's not happening. Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. But, so I suppose we'll move on to Night of Champions now, will we?
So,
let me just take that card up there. You threw me off there. He's signaling at me, you know what I mean?
He's shouting into the microphone.
I'm shouting today. Sorry. You're shouting. Well, it's usually the opposite way.
That's good.
Like, I mean, I'm improving day by day.
No, it's not that bad. We're just in new settings just for this week. So, you know, it's fine, Peter. Don't worry. It's grand, my buddy.
Thanks very much,
it's good to have you back. Are you in good form? You look like you're drained, Peter.
I am very drained. Oh, you wouldn't believe it. But Nicholas Dalby and Ross Houston, right? When I was kind of in the medical room there, there was kind of whispers. I didn't hear anything official. But
did you get a medical?
No, thank God.
They probably should have given you one.
Put me in the ambulance straight away. But the thing is, right, like after sustaining them cuts and stuff like that, there's likely going to be a medical suspension here, right?
Yeah, you'd imagine so. You really would. Like that elbow.
Means that they can compete in Copenhagen, but it is an extra obstacle, right? Because they're gonna have to get cleared. And like, as we saw that cut on Nick's head,
it was bad.
We saw a broken nose on Ross. Like, I mean,
I'd say Dalby's nose is broken as well.
They were questioning that whether it was or not. But, in a perfect world, I think everybody wants to see these guys fight in Copenhagen again. Like, I mean, after a war like that, they want to see something happen, you know what I mean? They definitely want to see Dalby in there. I mean, this is what I was kind of saying about the whole event. It was full of good stories, like the Joy one we just talked about. Mads is a very similar story to Nick. You know, James Webb being the apprentice of Chris Fields, the man who used to hold that title. Sam Creasy, it was set up for him. But really, you know, Nicholas's story was so compelling that it actually saturated the whole thing. And when you think about that, on a night of six title fights, he's the story. Like, I can really feel the momentum behind him now for this Copenhagen card. Maybe not so much with Ross, because he doesn't have it's not his native country and stuff like that, but you feel like, in a perfect world, if we were to get that fairy tale ending, it would be Copenhagen for Dalby, right?
Oh, yeah, 100%. And that will be the worry for me, though, you know, the turnaround, and in terms of, you know, he did look pretty banged up. He looked pretty beaten. Do we really want to see a guy, do we, you know, get in there that's taken, you know, a lot of head trauma? Let's be honest about it. That elbow was bloody nasty.
It was.
Would it be better maybe for the longevity of his career and his mental health for a guy who suffered from mental health problems as well? Maybe he needs to be a bit more careful and maybe pass this one up. But obviously, if the opportunity comes, you're not going to see Nicholas Dalby turn that one down. Mm. It would mean the world to him. And I think it would be a great, great story, but only if his mental health is right and you know, he's not too badly injured from that. Because I would expect, you know, some suspensions.
Well, it would be a nice consolation if he just got the contract and he did. Like, I mean, he wasn't waiting on Copenhagen. Yeah. Not that he needed to fight there, but even to be a guest fighter there, so he can put himself, he can exactly. set out a stall.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly. Be involved in it in some way.
Well, I think that it would help the UFC if he was. You know.
Yeah, but like, you know the way these guys work. They don't really give a shit, PT. To be honest, let's be honest about it. In terms. Like Europe seems to me as if it's
an afterthought.
It is an afterthought, and they're just basically making up these, you know, doing their obligations to their ESPN contract in terms of putting on fight nights, and we seem to get some pretty shallow cards. And I think, listen, I don't think it'd be a bloody rocket science to work this one out. If Nicholas Dalby was on the card, you know, you're getting a lot more love. You're getting a lot more eyes on the card in Copenhagen. But listen, it wouldn't be surprising if the UFC didn't sign him, but I hope they do.
Yeah, I think...
He deserves it.
Yeah, yeah. I really hope to see that happen, man. He's a fantastic person. Yeah. And both him and Ross gave me so much time, man, ahead of this fight and after it. And that interview I did that's featured in the last part of that ESPN article is one of the most intense situations. There's actually a video of it. Up online now. Of
is there a video? Did you put one up today?
Oh, I didn't put it up. It was a documentary crew that I was following. Cool. Nick. They put it up, and very intense. I actually thought he was having a joke with me, and then next of all, the emotion just comes.
Yeah.
And just like, well, man. Like, I mean, I knew how much this means to him, obviously. But when you see it, him processing the fact that maybe I'm not going to make this Copenhagen card.
It was like, insert, I know it's different, but it was like what Paul Rebbins after that fight. That's when it sort of, it dawned on me. I was like, well, shit, man. Sometimes we don't actually stand back and go.
Well, it's the week-to-week thing, isn't it? Like, we don't even get to process the stories because there's a fight card next week and we just go, here it is. We have to move on to
that's
this.
That's it. And so, sometimes I think when you're there and you see it in your face and you see the switch, as you said, the trigger, you know, from a smile to so emotional tears. It just shows you what's going on in these guys' heads in the build-up. Especially, man, the fight week is so, so draining for any fighter.
Just very grateful to share that he wanted to share that moment with me. And I really can't thank him enough. I think he's a special guy. I really do. I think he's an incredibly special person. And I met his whole family over there on fight week. And, you know,
I remember when he fought Darren Till in Dublin. And the two of them were dressed in suits. They were having like great fun with the fans as well. Yeah. And just really good, humble guys. And
even after the Mulpeter fight, Nick came over and he was having a few beers with Phil for the whole night, having big chats, talking about different things.
He's a lovely, lovely, lovely fella.
It's impossible not to like the guy. Yeah. You know what I mean? It really is. But, you know, we spoke a lot about Joy already, but Jack Grant, he looked brilliant in the first round of that fight. Obviously, then Joy starts coming on and he was brilliant. In the second and third round, he was absolutely brilliant. But I think it's far from the last that we've seen a Jack Grant, man.
Yeah, no, yeah, listen, I just think again... As
why
said,
not do the Grant v. Soren back fight now? Well, maybe that's what they do with Joy if the UFC don't come calling immediately.
Yeah, well, yeah, that is true. Listen, I think, you know, for Joy, I wouldn't mind seeing him have another couple more fights. In cage warriors. I don't think there's any massive rush for him to get to the UFC. I think he's very, very good. And I think everything we've seen from maybe he isn't ready yet. Maybe one or two more fights as champion would maybe polish him off a little bit more, having that belt.
Oh, it's undoubtable that would absolutely. But I think he gets in there and he competes straight away.
No. I'm not saying that, but maybe for his career, maybe it would be better if he had another fight or two to build the brand off. Yeah.
Like he even said to me in that interview, I said, like, what's the difference? What's the difference? He goes, it's Cage Warriors. They just know how to nurture. 100%. They know how to build me properly, you know?
100%. And I think if you look at the fight against Reese McKee, that was a phenomenal performance from Reese when he beat him. But he's just got better. He's added so much weapons to his game. And as I said, again, I'll go back to it, man. The defense was fantastic.
Yeah.
Absolutely fantastic. That was the most impressive thing
in
the fight for me.
Oh, I don't know. His jab, man, was unbelievable.
Well, you know, weathering that storm.
We knew he had a good
under
jab,
that
though,
pressure. Yeah, we've seen all that from him before. So cerebral in the stand-up. Really good with picking the shots. Composure. It's everything you want in a top-level fighter. And I think we're very much on the way to seeing that from Jair. I'm excited to see this guy go. And he will be in the UFC. I think it's just a matter of time, definitely.
There was some talk that Masvidal possibly injured his knee after his fight with Dean Truman.
He looked all right to me.
Yeah, he looked. I saw him kind of outside afterwards and stuff. He looked okay, but that would be. I mean, look, he's in a very similar situation to Dalby. His story was not as publicized. He's not had the same gap since the UFC that Dalby has had. He has looked tremendous under the Cage Warriors banner. Like Dean Truman, I've got so much respect for that guy. He's a stalwart under the Cage Warriors banner. Yeah. And look, Dean was on his back in the first round of that fight. And now he's going... Oh.
Surely even listen to what Mad said about him at the end, man.
That was so nice.
That was a really, really good thing to say. And I think it is, you know, it is true. When sometimes you just look at the situation and what it means to both guys, and to see one guy, basically, he was really pissed off at himself. You could see he was like, fuck, he was nearly in tears.
Yeah, yeah.
It's very, very tough. But yeah, like, is Mads ready for another shot in the UFC?
I think he's magic. Yeah. I do, I really do. But I just think the fact that there hasn't been that distance like Dalby has had, you know, I think that will make the UFC reluctant. But honestly, like, I think Dalby and Burnell are the right guys to get on that Copenhagen card, like, to compel them the local interest and stuff like that. So I hope it happens for him. I just think his case probably isn't as good as Dalby's, just based on distance and stuff like that. But he's certainly capable. He's certainly a talent. And I'm sure the fight he got cut after was that Ernie Allen one, where he was really dominant over Arnold.
Was that the fight?
Savage. Yeah. I believe it was, anyway. It could be.
You're probably right,
That was the Liverpool fight.
It's been a while,
That was only last year, right? Yeah.
Is it last year Liverpool?
Yeah, that's it. Like in May 2018, and he's won 3 fights in Cage Warriors since then.
Fucking hell.
Like that loss to Arnold Allen, you'll remember it was midway through the third round, and Mads had been dominating that fight. Yeah. So his only other loss was Mikel Prezeris, who probably didn't make weight, let's be honest.
Standard.
James Webb and Natoya Fredrick was a fight that was... so electric. Simon Headset in the media room, he was downstairs interviewing him, somebody, he said it was sounding like a rap concert, because we're all like, oh it was on. Insane.
You know, I want to ask you this, and we had a little chat about this outside a few minutes ago,
and Joy mentioned this in the interview as well, and to be fair, you're talking about the
pedigree,
the pile driver, the spike in the last one.
I question to you, right, we had a chat about this. Obviously Jessica Andrade's fight against Rose Namajunas, when Rose had a hold of her arm.
Yeah, the Kimura trap. Yeah.
Yeah, what's the difference between that and what James Webb was doing with his arms around, sort of like he'd underhooks
knees. Webb is going for the double leg, and then Natoya's picks him up from around the waist. He overgrips the waist, and he pulls him up, and he drops him down. And I think the rule is that if you control a person's body going into the ground head first, you're spiking them.
Okay.
So I think that's where the rule is different, in terms of Natoya's is launching him into the ground rather than Rose is holding on to something that is
potentially going into an armbar.
I mean, she's attacking a submission rather than Natoya seems to be just lifting and spiking.
Okay.
Though I don't know. Like, I mean, that is not a clear distinction by any form. But
because that's the first thing after having that conversation with you, and you know, you were right, that is the rules.
Well, no, it's good for devil's advocate, because I didn't actually hear that argument until Joy had said to me in the interview, and I was like, well, I'm not going to start bullshitting here, because I don't know.
Because we had that conversation, and it came up, and I was watching the card, and I went, well, is that not, you know, the similar thing, obviously just a different limb?
Yeah.
So I don't know.
I don't think you'd say that Natoya was attacking a submission.
Yeah. Well, that's true. You
know?
That's true.
I don't know. Maybe that isn't a good enough distinction. Yeah. Maybe. But like, after he said that to me, I can understand why. I've seen Fabian, I've seen lots of the Team Renegade guys online talking about, oh, Natoya was robbed. And the same in the same respect that the Team KF and the Irish fans and the English, like some fans in Ireland are talking about, you know, James definitely won that fight. Yeah. I definitely saw a lot of that afterwards. I was scoring it. You know, when you're working at the event, you're looking at a screen, you're running back and forth.
You know, I wasn't. I probably had, Matthias winning the fight by a round, and I think maybe, obviously, the point deductions were a level.
So you had the draw as well?
I had the draw. I had no problems with the draw at all.
I had James up going into the last round 3-1, and then when I said it to the other media members in the room, like, a lot of them were like, I have a 2-2.
I thought he was lucky not to be disqualified for his mouth alone towards Mark Goddard.
Matthias?
Yeah, he was pretty bad, man. And I think Goddard, let's call a spade a spade. I think he actually handled it very well, the situation. Yeah. Told his corner, control your fighter. He kept answering back Mark. He wouldn't stand where he wanted him to stand. Mark was visibly and noticeably on the broadcast shouting at him. And I think Goddard handled it well. But I actually do believe Goddard could have disqualified him just for talking back to him and not obeying the official, because it was it was pretty bad, man.
A lot of people, I don't know if you saw the first that looked like a pedigree, the kind of situation there. A lot of people thought that he should have been, some people were saying in the media room, like maybe he should have been pointed there or warned there. So then the thing later on, but I certainly, like when you look and you hear what James has to say about his injury now, off this.
Well, he looked, you could tell after the fight, visibly straight away, he was sort of rolling his shoulder and his neck and sort of bending over a little bit. So hopefully he's not, you know, too badly injured.
My mistake, you'll hear in the interview later on, another epic from Petey, really calamitous Carol this weekend. I was speaking to Team KF as they made their way towards the media room afterwards. And
Chris
James
was like, fuck off.
Well, obviously. But James goes, oh, I don't even want to put this on my shoulder. He says about the belt. I thought he was saying, like, because he didn't feel it. That was actually a shoulder injury.
Yeah, right.
So I say to him in the interview, I heard you say this. He goes, yeah, my shoulder. Right. I couldn't feel it.
PT thought he'd a gem.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, oh my God. But brilliant. Yeah, brilliant stuff, Peter. But look, I think the one thing I do think that both Natalius and James, even if they're both upset about this decision, is the one shred of positivity they need to take from it is the fact that everybody was talking about this fight while it was going down. I mean, it had such massive traction online. The obviously these big techniques, the pile driver and the pedigree, that they went viral. You know, like, look, there's no way James is going to take that as a consolation now while he's suffering with a massive neck and arm injury. But the fact that it's so talked about means that the rematch is going to be big.
Eyes are on it, man. Eyes are on it. Eyes are on that whole card at the weekend. And I think when you have a main card like that and you've two fights that end in such spectacular circumstances, you know, so pretty fucking wild. And, I think people are going to go back and even going to watch that.
Yeah, absolutely. Did you see Samir Fadeen's knockout?
Yes, I did.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, I think Creasy was a little bit...
He left himself open for it, all right. He ran in, kind of.
He tends to do that. He drew hands down. And he was winning the fight as well. Very disappointing from his point of view.
It's two title fights, 0-2 now. Yeah. Because there was a big upset against Nathan Grayson, and now there's a big upset against Samir.
Was it a good stoppage? I'm still a little bit out in it, man.
Look, I didn't. It's not like I've trawled over this a lot of times, but at the time I did feel like it was a good stoppage. Was there a complaint afterwards?
No, I think he actually sort of, from what the commentators were saying anyway, Josh and Brad, they were saying, you know, it was a good stoppage. Maybe the Creasy acknowledged that he went out, because it's sort of like his equilibrium went and then he fell
to his side, I thought he was
eyes,
out.
His eyes maybe went. Maybe, you know, I wouldn't mind looking at it again, but... I thought there would have been a little bit more maybe debate about the stoppage. But listen, I'm okay with it. If the fighter's okay with it, I'm okay with it.
Yeah, that's, Modestus Bukauskas, his corner man, David Batten, actually walked away from the time, but 15 years ago, the first night they unveiled the titles at Strikeforce 4, Modestus Bukauskas' coach, David Batten, he walked away from that event with a title, and now... You know,
that's an amazing story.
Yeah, and now here comes Modestus winning the title, the first Lithuanian to win a Cage Warriors title 14, 15 years later. Absolutely unbelievable, against Martin Hamlet, a guy who I thought would have been definitely on the UFC's radar for that Copenhagen card. Because as I understand it, he has a huge following in Scandinavia. He's a well-known wrestler over there. Yeah. Of course, wrestling's huge over there. I think he has 15 world honours. And look...
not as much as you.
Yeah, well, of course. but after... After a few takedowns, you could tell that, like, Mod isn't going anywhere, and he can pack a punch on the feet. And look, that's the way it ended in the end. It's Martin on his knees, and Modestus just laying into him until the referee stops it. Unbelievable performance from Modestus. I know Chris Fields had his eye on the winner of that fight. Unfortunately, with what happened with James, James explains, like, I mean, I think that was lower on the priority list for Chris Fields. But even the decision there, the judging scorecards on that one, I thought it was very cool to see Chris approach all the judges afterwards. Dave Letterby, Ben Cartledge, Mark Collette, and Daryl Ransom, I believe. He sat down and he just said, look, explain it to me. There was no losing the rag. There was nothing like that. He was just... explanation process. I walked over and they all seemed very happy chatting away. There was nothing mad. I think as a coach, he's... That's the difference. Yeah. Like, you know, he goes out of his way to understand where the judges are coming from.
He puts a lot of effort into it. And I think even in terms of the other regulatory issues that he's sort of really educating himself and he wants to learn about it. It's not that Chris Fields you'd see in between rounds screaming in the corners at his fighter. It's a very calculated Chris, and I think we might have even seen that on Twitter this week with John Kavanagh in terms of the lack of fight cards that are
that's really flaring up right now
in the country. It's gone mad on Twitter for the last couple of weeks, man, and it really did sort of
unless
a different level. But
unless any Irish media publications want to actually invest in this, we're not going to get to the bottom of it. And you know, this is something I've pitched to every media outlet in the country. And if they don't want to, get someone reporting on this, a huge story that has the whole community kind of, it's actually drawn a schism through the community where there's people one side on the IMAF situation and then you have the other governing body. I don't necessarily believe that's the right way to do this, but I don't know what way to do it, you know. It's very difficult. Look, all I'll say is the scene that created Conor McGregor, Paddy Hoolan, Neil Seary, Paul Redmond, it's dead. Park. These fighters were created in a thriving Irish scene, and that scene is no longer. And that hurts nobody more than it hurts me, believe me. But that is just the situation we find ourselves in, unfortunately.
It is, and it's sad if you look at some of... It's just, you know, something needs to be done, and I think maybe they could be doing more. Maybe, you know, are we aware of everything that's going on? I think there needs to be a lot more transparency.
Absolutely not aware of everything that's going on.
It's very, very hard to get information, as we've talked about
past. I'll tell you the thing that annoys me about it, Noel, is when I was trying to tell this story, nobody wants to talk to me, and now they're on to me every week. Can you do this? I've lost two contracts. I've lost two contracts in Ireland over this because you guys wouldn't talk to me. Barry Oglesby.
Well, the same thing happened to me. I got a couple of messages off people, talk about it now. Well, when I asked you a couple of months ago, there was very little.
Barry Oglesby and Andy Ryan were the only people that would ever talk about it. Barry has now turned he's hung up his gloves, so to speak. Andy is
largely due to what's going on in terms of that.
But I'd love to be able to cover Andy and talk about what he's doing there. But it's unfortunately, Emma wouldn't play ball with the media at the start. So why should we, it's very difficult to convince media that it's all done, we've done a 180 now, it's full disclosure now, it's tough. Back to the card, sorry.
Yeah.
Alex Lahore and Aaron
Kelly. I always get a rant in every week.
Yeah, and there'll be more, don't worry. Yeah. But there was a lot of darce trading going on in that fight, but Alex comes away. It's a different performance from Alex, I must say, from usual. But
scary man all the same.
Yeah, I'd love them to do that Reese fight now, to be honest.
Yeah. Listen, Reese is open to it. Reese texted me during the card the other night. Pretty much open to anything. I think he wants to take a little bit more time off, get back in there. I think he feels as though he's up towards, I think maybe even the Joy Herbert fight has risen Reese's stock a little bit in terms of what he's going to be allowed to do in that welterweight division. And rightly so. Listen, Reese is a big boy. Touch
what
of death.
Joy is, yeah, exactly. Like what Joy has done on the back of it, even nearly fortifies that
result.
There
you go. It does. So it's you know, why not do that fight?
Yeah.
Why not?
Adam Armesinger gets a split decision nod over Darren O'Gorman in their flyweight contest. Very interesting fight, that. Tough one for Darren there, to come out on the wrong side of the split. But what can you do? This is the game we're in. Hakon Foss has an unsuccessful debut at middleweight against Jason Radcliffe, a man who has faced James Webb, of course, in the past. And, of course, another opponent of James, a previous opponent of James Webb's, Thomas Robertson, gets a rear naked choke win over Michael Yunus. Morgan Charrier, the man who... gave Soren Back a really, really competitive fight, even for the interim featherweight title. split decision win over Lewis Monarch. And starting the night off, James Hedden gets a decision over Kingsley Crawford. That is all the results. But what I want to talk to you before we get off this is the vinyl issue with the canvas, right? So this is the thing that I was talking to a lot of people involved with this at the end.
They have a soft canvas.
Yeah, it's a vinyl thing. But the reason why is because that they, back when they were getting broadcasters on board, they didn't like the canvas because the blood stays on the canvas, as in you cannot clean it between rounds.
Yeah, whereas UFC canvas,
where you can clean a vinyl canvas in between fights, so it looks spanking new then every time.
Exactly. They had it for a few events. They had it... for the Cage Warriors Unplugged, they had a UFC canvas, so it's a finer canvas. Yeah, interesting one.
But listen, see the situation they're in. Everyone's moaning online. Why isn't this on BT Sports, etc.? You can guarantee that Kaz and his team are trying to get it on BT Sports, and maybe this vinyl situation is because of that as well. Yeah. You know, I don't know for sure, but I'm just saying from what I heard.
Listen, Goddard made the right decision. You could see both lads slipping off each other. It wasn't getting any better. There was more
full transparency
coming.
There. Like,
it was great.
I spoke to Dalby on Sunday morning. It's like, look, yeah. I can't blame Mark for that.
You look.
Did you see when he called it? Just let me. When he called that fight, Ross had gained an advantageous position off a slip.
And he slipped.
So I think when Mark was looking at that, he was like, this is going to end due to this canvas.
That's exactly what I was about to say to you there. You know, he slipped off him. You could clearly see it. Yeah. It was just, it was going on. There was more blood coming. The cuts, you know, if you look at, I think Ross had three separate cuts above his head, one just above his nose there as well, all going into his eyes. The cut on Dalby's fecking...
The side of his head. Actually, Mark was talking to me about that. He said, because that's so close to your actual bone, it just goes mental, you know?
So,
listen. In around the area of the Roy Keane protruding vein.
I have a horrible one on my neck there.
I have the one with balls.
Oh, Jesus Christ. I'm going to fucking edit that out. It's disgusting. Fucking hell. You won't be sleeping now tonight thinking about that. But listen, well done, Mark Goddard. I'd like to say great decision. I thought it was the right decision. And, you know.
Thought he had a good night, you know.
Safety first, Petey.
Yeah, absolutely. Should also note that Ian Garry, this is the first time I've been around him on fight week.
Poor fella.
His fight pulls out, but my God, he has a way with the media. He approached the media by himself, did several interviews by himself. He's the guy has got something. He's got a serious energy to him out there. Like, I mean, he had the media eating out of the palm of his hand. He wasn't even fighting. He just shows up in the media room.
That's what you want. You want that.
He's got this great, really, really kind of infectious energy to him. And I met a lot of the guys because Taka showed up on Saturday night to watch James. Adam Shelley was there with James. Really a great bunch of lads. And you feel like Team KF is going to kind of have the presence that SBG had back in the day in Cage Warriors.
Yeah.
Like, there's going to be a lot of them there. You know, we see it with a lot of teams with Cage Warriors. And I can just imagine, I was kind of looking at them all sitting there, Taka, Adam, Ian, Chris, James. And I was like, this, you can see in next year maybe these guys.
I think it's good that young lads are starting to recognise the media like that. You know, obviously a lot of them still have a long way to go and how they approach us.
That's a good point. I didn't even think of that.
You need guys like that. You need to learn what the media is there for, what we're about. Have a working relationship because, you know, a lot of fighters do, and we don't often probably publicly say this, treat us like shit. And you know, we wouldn't go on air and say who or what, but listen, it happens many, many a times and it's very frustrating. But when you build a relationship with certain guys, they respect you for what you do. And you respect, obviously, them for what they do. And that's the way it should work. We're here for a purpose.
As long as you ask them how they are.
Exactly.
Most important.
And that's the most important
thing.
Always
ask them
how. And if they don't answer their phone, you're to blame still as well. We'll leave it at
that. Moving swiftly on. We're going to have a word with James now. He's so upset, man. You just feel it off him. Like, he's watched this fight, you know, I'd say a lot since it happened. You know, I can see where he's coming from completely. Like, I mean, he scored 12 takedowns in that fight.
Is he Irish? I just want to know.
He's from Swords. All
right,
and,
okay.
He basically is. It's just, you know, you can see where both, I guess you can see arguments on both sides. As I said, I think the fact that I've scored it for James and you've scored it for Natoya says how close it is.
Yeah,
like, that's
100%. But I think as well, man, when something like that, there must be an awful calm down for a fighter after the fight. It's just a dump of emotions.
Yeah,
and I think that's really it. If you talk to him probably in a week, he'd be as good as new and he's back in training or back doing a little bit. He'd be rejuvenated. It must
but
be
it's
very,
why
very tough.
These guys are going to be so good as
100%.
Well. Like, beating themselves over like a pretty great fight. Like, you know, everybody's really excited about that fight. He doesn't lose his belt and he's still walking away.
But we look at Joy Herbert in the other extreme. It goes both ways. He won the fight and he's still fucking not happy. Do you know what I mean?
Like, well, he's happy. He's happy, but I don't know.
It's just a fighter mentality. That's what makes them, you know, so special for me. And I think
better people than us.
Well, yeah. But then, me than you, but all right.
Maybe me. But look, we'll talk to James. It was quite a long conversation with James because there was a lot to get through and just picking his brain on the different situations that went on in that crazy fight. So look, we'll be back in about 20 minutes and we'll wrap this baby up. And as advertised, we are now joined by the Cage Warriors middleweight champion, Mr. James Webb, who fought to a controversial draw with Natoya's Frederick on Saturday night at Cage Warriors Night of Champions. James, you've retained your belt, but how do you feel about this? I didn't get to speak to you on Saturday night.
A little bit disappointing. Like, a little bit disappointed still, you know. I just feel like the judges were a bit off, to be honest with you.
And it's not, like, obviously, I think most fighters always say that, don't they? You know, they've got the issues, but it seems to be a lot of people think that, like, not just me. So, yeah, disappointed still, mate. Very disappointed.
It was an incredibly exciting fight, and we'll speak about the judging later on. The fight itself was incredibly exciting. As it's going down, Twitter's exploding. I mean, it looks like he tries to hit a pedigree on you at one stage, and then of course there's the massive the pile driver, which, you know, sent shudders up my spine. I can only imagine how that made you feel. I mean, has there been any lasting damage from that impact? Because it looked quite severe to me.
I don't know. I haven't actually got any damage from the fight at the moment. No damage, just my shoulders in bits from how I landed. Like, my neck went one way and I landed come down. Like, so I was a bit concerned about that, but I haven't really gone and get it checked out yet, you know.
But how does it feel? Like, I mean, how do you feel physically around the shoulder and the neck?
Well, I can't actually lift my arm up yet, probably above my head. God. So, I can't lift my arm. I can raise it to like a lat raise almost, but I get a lot of pain in the top of the shoulder where I landed on it. So if I didn't know at first, if I like fucking dislocated the shoulder and it went back in, then I was worried maybe I've cracked the collarbone, but the collarbone seems fine. It just seems to be that right on the top of the bone, you know? So I don't really know, mate. I don't really know.
After you've had a look at that back, I mean, do you feel like that should have been a disqualification? How do you feel about it? Are you happy to fight on, or how do you feel about
it? Yeah, I'm happy to fight on, mate. Yeah, like, I don't want to look for a way out, you know? Like, I'd have been more annoyed if he got disqualified, you know? I was in there to fight, you know? So now I'm happy that I'm happy that it carried on, you know? I think he had a spot, especially last round, you know, spoiled it a little bit. I mean, I do think if you're going to fight, I do think you should know the rules, you know? Like, that doesn't even come into my head to try and pick someone up and put them on their head, you know? But, I don't know what goes through people's heads, you know? So...
It's interesting, right? Because the way this is, there's so many people passionately on both sides, right? So there's all these people on the Toya's side are so passionately saying he was robbed. So people on your side also very passionate that you won this fight. Yeah. I saw lots of opinions, but it usually points to a very close fight. How do you see it when you look back at it? Like, I mean, how did you score that fight?
I scored that 4-1 to me.
4-1.
Yeah, I think I won the first, the second, the fourth, and the fifth.
Right.
I think I lost the third, and I think I deserve to lose the third because I lost a rear naked choke. I had a choke and lost it. And he had a lot. He stopped. Like, he managed to like have a lot more control on the feet, you know. But in the first, second, fourth, and fifth, I think I was taking him down a hell of a lot, you know.
Yeah, that's what I was
noticing.
I got
12 takedowns, you know.
12.
And 12 takedowns in the fight. Yeah. So. Right. And, you know, how many times did I get to mount? How many times? I was on the back 3 times, I think. I had attempted a choke. You know, like, I don't know. I don't really know, mate. Like, I scored that 4-1. That's how I see it, 4-1.
I have a tremendous amount of respect for your coaches, Chris Fields and Tom King. That will be no surprise to you.
Yeah.
And one thing I noticed after the fight, which I thought was incredible, really, really incredible, was... Chris Fields calmly discussing the fight with the judges who were there, Daryl Ransom, Mark Collette, Dave Letterby, and Ben Cartledge. It's a great show of professionalism. Everyone's very emotional after something like this happens. I know how much this victory meant to you. But, I mean, I was just wondering, is it too fresh right now to have that conversation with Chris, to go back to the drawing board? Like, I mean, was there anything that you've seen after the fact where you were like, well, maybe I could have done this, maybe I could have done that?
Nah, like, there's little things I know I can correct, like, being, like, in the... Like, to be honest with you, man, I've sparred and trained with so many high-level jiu-jitsu guys and so many heavy guys, and no one's ever sat up out of my mount. I didn't really expect that, you know. That happened like many times. Like, you know, one thing I should have learned after the first. Well, the thing is, mate, after that happens once, I don't expect it to happen again. Like, I just think, nah, that can't happen again.
Like, that was a freak thing. That surely can't be a regular occurrence.
You can't keep doing that. Like, the energy that must take, and especially after you keep getting up after being taken down. I know how that feels. You know, you're sapped. So I just have no idea how. you can keep sitting up on something like that. But I mean, looking back in hindsight, I probably should have just stopped mounting, you know. I should have just looked for like the half guard and just try to like find the way from there. I shouldn't have kept progressing, you know. But obviously progression in my head is always a good thing, you know. Coming from like a jiu-jitsu background, progression scores points.
Mm.
Clearly to the judges, as soon as it hits the ground, no one cares anymore. They just want it back on the feet. So apart from one, I think Mark Collette was the one who scored it 4-1 like I did, you know.
Right, right.
So
I don't know if you're going to be annoyed with me sharing this, but one thing that I was aghast about after the fight was you were on your way to the media room and you turn around to Tom King and you say, I don't want to put this belt on my shoulder. Have you been able to reconcile that feeling now? I hope you have, because...
Nah, Pete, that wasn't to do with that, mate. That was because I couldn't physically put it on my shoulder.
Oh! So this is from the pain of the I misinterpreted that completely. I'm sorry.
I couldn't put the belt on the shoulder. I can't lift the arm. So after Jesus. That fight finished, my head, I said to Chris, I said, if they want to talk to me, I said, I can't talk. You're going to have to talk to me. I said, my head, I've hurt my head. I've hurt my neck. And then Tom was saying, I said, I can't put the belt on. And then if you look at all the interviews I did, the belt's on the left shoulder. I had to put it on the left shoulder. And my right arm's hanging low. I think I had a bottle of water at one point. My arm's down. I can't lift the arm. Do you know what I mean? I'm struggling.
This makes a lot more sense. Because when you say this, Chris goes, oh, just put it in front of you. Like, he's agreeing with the situation. So, yes, that would make a lot more sense the way you've told me. I'm sorry about that, man. But, Jesus, this sounds very serious, James.
That's what you're talking about, didn't you? With Edith, the belt, you're talking about that.
Yeah, I felt like it.
Yeah, I couldn't put it on the shoulder, mate. I couldn't lift the belt up, mate. My girlfriend's carrying me. My fiance, should I say, she's carrying me suitcase round. Can't even drag that, mate.
I think it's just an excuse.
What is that with it, you know? I've tried to play that card as well a little bit, you know. But that's what I'm dealing with at the moment, just the arm, you know, the shoulder. So
can I ask you? There was some huge reactions to after the fact when the big pile driver happens at the very start, maybe the first 15 seconds in the fifth round, and then there's also a back and forth between Natalius and Mark Goddard, and a lot of people were pretty annoyed about that when I was looking at it online. I mean, based on everything that's happened here, the pile driver, the situation, like the second time it happened in the fight, the way this fight has turned out. I mean, have you lowered your estimation of Natalius as a person after this situation?
Well, nah, not really, mate. Because I mean, I don't really care that much about him anyway. So
right.
Think I'd be like, you know, you respect your opponents, but I mean, respect only goes on for the sport of it. You know, I like to be a nice person, but I only really care about my friends, you know. And if that was my friend that was acting that way, I'd be disappointed in them. But that's obviously not someone I'd be a friend with, you know. So I don't really care about him, to be honest with you. So
Were you aware of that?
I saw like the argument. How he conducts himself is up to him, completely up to him, you know. Like, I wouldn't act that way. Like, it's a sport, you know. You listen to the ref and that's it, you know. But I don't care, mate, really. Honest with you.
You sound really dejected, James. I'm not going to lie to you. This is the most downtrodden I think I've ever spoke to you. And I've spoken to you after losses and stuff like this.
I know, yeah. I just, it's just hard to take me. I just think it's a bit, I just feel a bit deflated. I don't know where you're obviously seeing the stuff you're saying, but I've had like a lot of messages to me and like a lot of like coaches who are, you know, like, I'm not going to mention anyone's names, and I've had like fighters message me who are in the UFC and coaches from the UFC and people from high journalists or MMA journalists, you know, and they've pretty much all said the same thing, like 4-1, scored 4-1, maybe 3-2, couldn't see how it was a draw, you know, and that sort of deflates me. And after, when I was talking to people after, I was just like, what is the point of me doing this if like that's how is the judging scored? I don't know how I'm meant to win a fight now. Like, Is he being scored because he's thrown shots after I've taken him down? Like, that was where he was wanting to be. You know, like, I don't think he stopped me taking him down once. Like, it's deflating. I might as well, why am I going to fight for, I don't fight for any money anyway, Pete, you know? I don't fight for no money, but what the fuck is the point of fighting and risking your health? And then, like, in my opinion, judges who aren't competent enough to judge it. Like if they want to just see a stand up fight, go and judge kickboxing or boxing. Do you know what I mean? Let MMA guys judge MMA. You know, let guys that are involved in the sport like jiu-jitsu. Or I don't know who them other two judges were. So they definitely ain't done no jiu-jitsu that I know of. You know, but like, that's how I see it. Do you know what I mean? Like, it should be about who's putting whose game plan on who. And I, you know, like apart from the third round when he was, you know, he was landing some shots, I don't feel like I was, you know, like when did I get taken down and was held there and was mounted and this and that and dominant? It just didn't happen. You know, and it's deflating. I just think, what the fuck am I doing? And why am I doing this? I don't need to do this. Just go and pay 50 quid and do the Irish Open.
I mean, it's about 150 quid now, James.
Yeah, but I'll just go win that, you know.
So it's
how it feels, deflating me, you know.
Yeah, it is. It's tough to hear you so downtrodden. I'm not going to lie to you, but it's. I'll tell you one thing I said to you an awful lot after this, and I could tell how dejected you were. Obviously, was there is going to be a lot of interest in this rematch. Yeah. This rematch has to happen. Even from listening to you now, you can tell how much you'd want a rematch in this situation if it was available. I know Notorious is going to want it, and I know the fans are going to want it because. I know you weren't happy, you weren't satisfied with the outcome of this fight, but if you could see social media as this is happening, it's absolutely erupting. Like I feel like even though you are the champion, you've retained the belt, you're a well-known commodity, I feel like this was the most talked about contest you've ever been in while it was going down, if you understand what I'm saying.
Can you
take some kind of positivity out of that I mean, you will get a chance to get back in there with him, or is that not even going to do it for you at this stage?
I would do it. Of course I would. Like I said, like, I don't, you know, I don't really care about that. Like, I'm up for it. Do you know what I mean? I wouldn't say no to it. I'm up for it. Like, there's obviously a few things that I'd want to discuss as well. Like, you know, like, to be honest with you, like, there's a lot of, like, concerns I have how someone is still lifting someone up in the fifth round, you know? Like, I have concerns over that, you know, like...
What kind of concerns?
Like, well, just, you know, like, I have concerns of what people are taking, you know, at the moment. So,
could have possibly been using... You're suggesting he might be using PEDs, James? Like, when he has...
Possibly, yeah. There's a lot of people out there doing it, you know? And I think if you look at the way I put pressure on people, it gets tiring, you know? I was wrestling for 25 minutes. And then I was getting like spiked and sat up out of that amount.
That's an impressive feat in itself, wrestling for 25 minutes. Like we hear people like Daniel Cormier talking about, you can wrestle for two rounds and then you're going to have
rounds,
to take...
And then you take a round off, yeah. Yeah, I know. Yeah. And it's harder when you're being wrestled, do you know what I mean? When you've got to try and get back up.
Of course. You're trying to lift two people's weight.
Yeah. So, you know, like, I'm not speculating, you know, but that's definitely a road I want to go down in the future, you know, especially with Cage Wars. I'm just gonna put it out there, you know, if there's title bouts that have to be fought, I think everyone should be tested, you know, everyone.
It's not a bad shout at all, you know. I think everybody would agree that we're trying to clean this up, but the one thing I would say is you've seen how USADA has fallen on its face with the UFC. There's so many different situations where, you know, it seems like I'm not saying I'm completely against it. It seems to be very hard to get it right, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, no, it does. Yeah, it does.
But is there any fear about the shoulder here or the neck, James? Like, I mean, or do you think that's going to be okay? Do you think that will be okay? It's just I can't get over the fact you're saying like you can't move it. It's quite startling.
Well, no. I mean, I can't move. Don't get me wrong. There's improvement since Saturday.
Right.
But I mean, like, there's a lot of pain. The pain is still sharp, you know. I can't put my arm above my head, you know. That's where I'm at the moment. I can't really straighten my arm properly. And that's not from, like, you know, I've had loads of fights. I've had loads of grappling competitions. Like, that's not from the fight. That's just from
the impact
coming down on my head, you know. Like, my head went one way and my shoulder went the other, you know. So, that's what that is, you know.
I know your coach Chris Fields wanted to make a big call out on Saturday night, had everything gone according to plan, but I could see that he was so invested in the situation that just occurred with you, he didn't get a chance to do it. Have you heard from him at all? Like, is that he told me, I think about 3 weeks before this fight, that he wanted to face the winner of the light heavyweight title fight, and of course we know it's Modestus Bukauskas. Have you talked to him about that since?
No, I actually haven't really seen him, mate. After the fight on Saturday, I went back to the hotel room, mate. I just went back home. Went back to the room, and then Sunday I left pretty early. Haven't really spoke to him, mate. He flew back to Ireland, so I've like messaged him a little bit, but I haven't really spoke to him as of yet, you know. But I do think that was something he was thinking about, you know.
And just a word on your teammate Ian Garry. I felt like Ian got a big opportunity taken away from him for Saturday night to compete in the card, but he actually made it.
Yeah,
he made it work for him somehow. Like, he did so much media. He was in the media room. He loves the camera, that lad, doesn't he, James?
Yeah, he just that's what he does, mate. He just wants to be around it, doesn't he? He loves it. He does love it. Fair play to him.
But I feel like I saw Taka there. I saw Adam Shelley. I feel like you guys are going to have a team of 5 and 6 guys there, maybe even as close as next year, you know. It seems to be an incredible atmosphere you guys have.
It's a good vibe, mate. Like, there's a really good vibe going on, you know. And a lot of the guys are solid, you know, really good guys. Everyone just, like, sticks together as a team, and there's none of that bullshit, you know, like, no one not training. Everyone just trains together, you know. Like, it's a team vibe, like, everyone looks out for each other. It's good, mate, you know, like, it's solid. And I think the training we get as well is next level, you know. Like, it is, like, the improvement I've made in a year is massive, you know. I expect there to be a lot of them guys sort of there in the next year or two, and even into the bigger shows, you know.
Just a final question. When would you like to do this? Like, I mean, if that rematch is there another fight you would prefer over that one, or is the rematch the way to go?
I don't think. I don't know. What else is there? You know, I don't think there's anything else in, like, what. Like, Jason and Thomas, the two guys that I've just recently beat, both got wins, didn't they? So.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe London, end of the year.
November.
Yeah.
That'd be a good one for you, right? You'd bring up a lot of people to that one.
Yeah, I'm not going anywhere else, man. They come to me.
I know I said I'd already asked you the last question, but I've one more. The way you're sounding here, like, and I mean, I spoke to Graham Boylan before this fight card, and he thought, like, maybe 5 people could be looking at UFC contracts if they got wins there. Is that what this is? I mean, like, you're a middleweight. We know that's a division that's not the heaviest on talent. Like, was that what you were looking at there? Is that what you feel you were fighting for on Saturday?
Yeah, that was part of that, man. Like, that was a big part of it as well, you know. I feel like I've ruined a chance there, you know. Like, I'm disappointed that I didn't finish the fight as well. Like, finishing fights is what I keep trying to do. So I'm disappointed in that. And I had opportunities to, you know, and I didn't do it. And I feel like I messed that up. And I just don't know. I feel like I feel quite happy about the whole situation. Like, I feel happy about the fight at the Apollo. I feel happy that, you know, like, it was a good opponent, it was a good fight for people, but I'm just deflated on the outside about the rest of it, you know? So, like, that's how it is, you know? And also, when you go back to, like, you know, Brendan the other day, obviously...
Brendan Loughnane?
He gets a takedown and he's not given a contract, you know?
Yes.
Like, there's me. I just busted that 12, man. I've gone back like 25 paces.
Oh my God. Yeah, maybe, you know, I mean? It's anti-takedown now. They don't exist.
I don't know anymore. Yeah, like, if I got the takedown, maybe got a nice finish, that'd look great. But 12 takedowns, they've just screwed that picture up and put it in the bin. So, I don't know. Fuck it.
James, I hate to hear you so down on yourself, but I know your mood will improve. This is still very fresh. I really appreciate you getting on and speaking to me, man. I always do.
No, not a problem, mate. Not a problem.
I'm glad to get your side of this. I'm really glad to get your side of this.
Yeah, no, not a problem, mate.
I hope that shoulder heals up. Please tell me when it does so I can tell everybody, because I know people are going to be concerned.
Yeah, no, I will, mate. I'll let you know.
All right. Nice one, James. Right. I'll talk to you soon,
worries,
champ.
Mate.
All
see
the best.
Bye-bye. Take care, mate. Bye-bye. Bye.
Great to speak to James there. Obviously, very low energy, I felt. You know, I can feel his disappointment very clearly in that interview. I'm sure all of you guys will as well. But it's time. for Niall to take the stage. Niall, BT Sports are charging $19.95, which translates to about €23, I believe.
Yeah, it's a piss take.
Go for it.
Yeah, no, just crazy. I think when they haven't done enough, really, they've messed up, let's be honest, over the years. They've messed up the original content they were supposed to have for us. The shows didn't kick off. They were kept chopping and changing. The product isn't out there as it should be. It's a lot like the Champions League coverage. The numbers dropped massively, went out from Sky to BT. They just have a way of messing up things in terms of promoting them. And I think they did that with the rugby as well. If there's any rugby fans listening here, with the Heineken Cup, the Champions Cup, the traction on that went down massively because of BT Sport. And I think, you know, when you're trying to charge people already a subscription for this service and then you're bumping an extra £22 on to a sport that you really probably haven't given your full length in terms, that didn't sound too good, in terms of actually putting your best product out there to the audience to consume, you have issues and you're trying to pull the wool over people's eyes, and you're not pulling it over my eyes because I'm not bloody buying it. I don't care if it's International Fight Week or not. I think it's pretty poor taste from BT Sports to start implementing this. And, you know, I'm not happy, and I don't think a lot of people will be happy, and I think that's going to translate over in the numbers.
I often use my friends as a guide as to how interested they are in these fights, and I haven't heard it once. You know, I haven't heard any talk of,
John Jones.
Can I come over and watch the Jones fight? And it is a good fight. Like,
but
I mean,
you used to get that.
Yeah, you did. Do you believe, like, if people don't buy this? I saw a thread on MMA Reddit there today, where people were like, "Don't buy this. We need to talk with our wallets here."
Yeah,
let's not buy it. I also saw something from Sean Sheen. I don't know if you saw this. This is going to be a problem. I'm just going to read Sean's tweet. Just cancelled my Air Sports subscription, as they did confirm to me, as reported elsewhere, that they've lost the rights to BT Sports with UFC, Premier League, etc. come August 1st and are keeping the same subscription price. That's going to be a massive issue now as well, because there's a lot of people that can only go through the Air Sports subscription, right? To get it. Like, what's going to happen there now?
Yeah, listen,
do people have to change their network provider to get it?
Yeah, that's what they have to do, and it's getting maybe a little BT's or to Bellator's issues now, and we don't want that again. I don't want to be coming on talking about TV deals every week when we've a lot going on in the sport, and yeah, that's what's going to happen. I didn't realise that either until you just said it to me there. That's shocking. That's going to, like, you know, you're trying to build a market here. And
we rue the day that we chased 11 sports out of town.
Yeah.
Well, we didn't.
Well, I think we are now after all this. But listen, I think people will talk with their pockets, and I don't think it's going to be a good outcome for BT Sports and the UFC on this side of the pond. And I think, you know, maybe people are getting sick of the way fights have been promoted over the last number of years. And listen, I've no problem with it. I think the American audience, as we said, are more adept to understanding what fight promotion is and what it means. I think maybe here we're not as, maybe, you know, take it at face value of what it is. Maybe we're getting sick of it here. And maybe that's why the talk isn't there, because John Jones has obviously got a lot more vocal in the last couple of years. He's embraced this bad boy image. But people just don't seem to be talking about him. You used to always get, oh, you know, Jones is fighting. You'd have, you know, the odd sort of casual crossover.
Is there only one fight card this week? Because they used to do a couple.
They used to do three.
Yeah.
They did three
a couple of times, all right, yeah.
Yeah, and listen, the fight card is, don't get me wrong, it's a fantastic
fight
card.
Let's have a look at the card here. The main European interest, we'll go to them first, and then we'll make our way back. Jan Blachowicz v. Luke Rockhold. I feel like a lot of people are looking past Jan straight away, and they're talking about Luke Rockhold's date with Destiny against Anthony Smith and potentially John Jones.
Date with Destiny. It sounded like the show he was on a few years ago.
But Jan is no mean feat. Like, I mean, look at some of the wins he has there. Like, I mean, he's going to go to war with you. We'll never forget that rematch he had with Jimmy Manoa in London.
Yeah,
that was
savage.
Absolutely epic. After, that was a fight, the rematch such, nobody wanted to see.
Yeah, and after such a crap first fight, and it just could total, 180 on it. It was absolutely fantastic. But
I favour Luke Rockhold here, but I do feel like that the US audience are really overlooking Jan completely.
Of course they're.
And he can gain so much from a win here, man.
Course there. It's going to be interesting to see Rockhold as well at 205.
Yeah, he's huge. You know, he's a big guy.
Coming off that loss to Yoel Romero, that nasty loss. Like, it's going to be interesting to see if Luke can really translate anything over against such a big, powerful guy in Blagojevic. It could be an issue for him here in terms of that. I'm not really sure what way this is going to go down. I think I am going to go Rockhold. I think Rockhold really might have a chip on his shoulder ahead of this one, something to prove. Lost two of his last three outings. I know at 185, but Rockhold, man, has been, you know, since he lost that world title, he's been tittering on the edge. I just think what we get with Rockhold sometimes is a lack of consistency and real maybe will to do it. Maybe a little bit like Gegard Mousasi we were talking about last week.
Yes.
Where's his head at?
Is he a bit flat? Like?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, we're gonna find out.
Maybe this is the spark he needs, and it's a really interesting fight. And yeah, listen, I wouldn't rule out Blagojevic, but I do fancy Luke Rockhold, I have to say.
What about Arnold Allen, the biggest fight of his life to date against Gilbert Melendez?
Great fight.
Another Cage Warriors veteran who has made his way and been very successful in the UFC.
It feels like he should be about 50, but he's only 23 or something.
5-0 in the UFC.
Yeah, he's brilliant. I love watching this guy fight. I love his demeanor, the way he carries himself, the way he bants with the media,
so
with
funny,
his dad,
man.
And stuff like that. It's brilliant. And I really think this guy is getting Gil Melendez at the right time. It hasn't been a good run for Gil in his last, what's he lost? Jesus, five of his last six UFC fights. Obviously against very high-level opposition, because we remember Gil, I think, probably more from the Strikeforce days than we do of his UFC tenure, where he's just been absolutely marvellous in Strikeforce. But I think it's a downhill spiral for him here now, and I think this is the big name that's going to really propel Arnold Allen.
You're not very good with his name.
I'm terrible with his name. Into the upper echelon.
Yeah, that's what I feel. I feel like it's the win that's going to really push him out there, you know?
Yeah, and I'd love to see him just get a few more fights in in a year, have a good year of two or three fights, and it just seems like he fights maybe once a year. Is that correct? I know he's had injuries and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But just a little bit more consistency, you get a bit more active. But what a fighter and what a talent, you know.
Jack Marshman, another Cage Warriors veteran, is up against Edmund Shaboyzin on the prelims. Edmund, you know, he blasted through a couple of guys. I think he was on Dana White's Tuesday Night Contender Series.
Yeah.
This is the guy that is basically... He's reinventing the Glendale Fight Club name, basically, with his performances. He's beat Darren Stewart. He's beat Charles Bird in the UFC so far. And he beat Antonio Jones in Dana White's Tuesday Night Contender Series. A man who's actually taking on Will Fleury next week, Antonio Jones and Bellator in Thackerville. But Jack Marshman against Edmund. Jack probably coming... his last fight must have been against John Phillips in London, I have to say. But that's a tough fight for Jack, man, and it's a tough fight for Edmund as well, because Jack's going to be able to challenge him in areas that maybe other guys couldn't, right?
Yeah, and I think the issues with Jack, hopefully he got his work visa lined out anyway, all that sort of thing. But yeah, no, it's going to be an interesting.
Hopefully
one.
They gave him the day off, like, so he could fight. That'd be nice, wouldn't it?
I think so. Listen, Jack is tough as nails, but are they going along the lines here of a guy they see who's had, you know, sort of inconsistent performances in Jack Marshman? And trying to make a name out of Shabazz.
Oh,
that's the way it's set up. So, listen, it is a big one for Jack. He needs a win. I think if he loses this, he could be in a bit of trouble as well. Because of, you know, the way the last fight went, you know, a lot of people thought John Phillips should have got that fight. So, yeah, it's one of those ones where you're going, oof, it's a little bit hard to judge, but you'd have to favour Shabazz. You know, I've been impressed with him, I have to say.
Yeah, I have as well. The Austrian Wonder Boy, who was snapped up very quickly by Paradigm, who got his debut, of course, off the back of a stunning one-punch KO, I believe. He got signed then. He bet Michael Prezeris, which is no mean feat at all, especially a guy wrestling heavy against such a striker like Ishmael. But he's taken on Chance Raconteur. I really like this guy. I think he's absolutely brilliant, Ishmael, and... I think...
ACB killer.
Yeah, I think he's set up for a big one here, to be honest. Chance, no mean feat again. I mean, all of these fights are very competitive.
And I think it's good. The one thing I want to say here is that having guys like that, have Arnold Allen on these big showcase events as well, it's sensible from the UFC to place them here. And we don't often
give them one compliment there, sure. Throw them a bone.
For once, yeah.
But, and then another Cage Warriors veteran then on Pani.
Pani Kianzad.
Yes. Is this her debut? Is this her UFC debut?
No, she's fought in the promotion before. She came back in, as far as I'm aware... yes, she fought in the Ultimate. Macy Chasson beat her in the final of the Ultimate Fighter finale.
So she signed on the back of that, obviously. Yeah.
No, she went to Superior Challenge and then she came back in.
Right.
So that's what happened with Pani. So it's going to be interesting. Obviously, didn't
Macy's
work out.
Macy's so good, man. Yeah, like, I mean,
but it didn't really work out for Invicta as well. So it's, you know, it is. It's going to be a challenge here for her. It's going to be a test. It's going to be an interesting fight. But yeah, good to see her get the shot. She's very popular in her home country of Sweden. Sebastian Fennel Martinez is always talked up, honey. So I'd like to see some consistency. It's going to be an interesting scrap.
Our homies at MMA Nyt. Well, let's take a look at the rest of it now. We've had a look at our European talent. Let's look at the fights that are jumping out at us, and there is quite a few of them. John Jones v. Thiago Santos. Does the Brazilian have a chance here?
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of people are overlooking. I felt this for a while. It's going to be very hard for John Jones to slow him down the way he does with other opponents. He actually, it's like he lures them into this kind of pace, hypnotizes them.
This guy just comes to take your head off. Yeah. That's what he's doing here.
Straight in, no kissing.
He's going to try and spark him. And I think if this fight goes outside one round, John Jones gets it. I think it's going to be very interesting to see the early parts of this fight. He's going to come hell for leather, close that distance, try and get in the pocket, overhand right. It's one of those fights where you can feel it. You can sort of see it happening.
Yeah.
But, you know, we said about Jones before, and it hasn't panned out that way. The guy can take a clock. He's so awkward. We saw that. Obviously his last fight against Anthony Smith, where he just, you know, he could have gone up 10 paces.
Yeah.
And that's scary when we're saying that.
But the one thing I will take from the Anthony Smith fight is, like, he made Anthony Smith slow down, and Anthony is not a man who takes a back step usually, you know?
He did. But another thing as well, I don't know if you saw the interview with John Jones from last night.
No.
Said he just has no nerves at all. He said he wished he actually had more nerves coming into this fight.
Most fighters like the nerves. Yeah, they like to feel them. It's like, this means something to me. You know?
And that's where I'm a little bit worried about this. I think if there's an outside bet, and like, I would pick John, if you're putting a gun to my head and picking John Jones.
Of course.
But I think maybe if you're a betting man here, why not throw a few quid on Thiago Santos for a first round knockout? I don't think if he goes outside, you know, the first, it's John Jones' fight all day. I think he'd just be too much for him. Get his hands on him and wear him down for you know, four, possibly five rounds, get a stoppage. But listen, this Santos is a fucking beast, man.
He's an animal.
He's going to
swing
John Jones.
Anyone with a sledgehammer tattooed in their chest, you need to be afraid of him.
Yeah, he's a scary dude.
Can Holly Holm do it again? Yeah. Can she shock the world?
Yeah, I think she can. And
this is something that, like, this is an opinion that seems to have grown in the last couple of weeks. I didn't see a lot of people kind of getting behind it because, let's be honest, Amanda has probably cemented herself as the greatest female fighter in MMA. And all of a sudden, people are kind of saying, well, she's done it before.
I think in terms of what Holly has done in her career and the style she brings here against Amanda Nunes, I think her boxing is so good. If she's focused, if she does the right things, strike quick, fast with combinations, get in and out, similar to what she did against Ronda Rousey.
And
she's a big chance.
Megan Anderson as well.
Big chance in this fight. Amanda, you know, really, really good as well. Really good boxer. I think we saw it against Cyborg. If she can just, you know, if Holly can get in and out, not engage, close up, you know, against the cage, I think that's a big, big problem for Holly.
She's going to be a lot bigger. Amanda's going to be a lot bigger.
Big size discrepancy there. But I do. I think Holly, man, can do this. And, you know, I think it could be a good thing for the division because, again, I look at this division now. Where does Amanda Nunes really go from here? The only other person outside of Holly Holm.
Valentina.
Is Valentina. And, like, you know, again, the size there, you're thinking straight away that it's going to be too much for Valentina. It's just an interesting one. A fight I'd love to see again, you know, but I don't know if the UFC would be interested in that. You have, obviously, Kat Zingano, who hasn't really got any sort of momentum since 178, but it's a fight I really can't wait for. I'm probably looking forward to this fight more than any on the card, really, in terms of a contest and what it means to both ladies. Both ladies are absolute killers. You know, double champ against a former champ, set up beautifully. I am, Peter Carroll, going to go. And I think the world's going to be shocked here. I think maybe just Amanda Nunes might lack a little bit of motivation because she's beaten everyone, nearly.
Ben Askren v. Jorge Masvidal, my friend. That is an unbelievable fight. Unbelievable fight. I can't wait for it. And I think...
I'm going to Jorge.
I think so as well. I'm not convinced about Ben. I love the guy. I think he's fantastic, I'm not convinced, man. What way do you see it going?
I'm not convinced, and we haven't been convinced for a long, long time. I think, you know, if you look at the Robbie Lawler fight, we saw that. We saw what Robbie Lawler was able to do to him straight off the bat. Listen, what did Jorge just do in Liverpool and London? She was at the fucking fight. He absolutely took Darren Till's head off. And I think that's what we've been waiting to see from Jorge for a long, long time, is that killer instinct. That real stamp of authority in the welterweight division. He did it against Darren Till. I think there's momentum there. I think there's brashness. I think there's cockiness. I think there's aggression. And I think there's ruthless aggression. And I'm not sure Ben Askren can really cut it at the best in the world when they're in his face swinging for the fences.
But if he can lock up a body lock or something, it's...
again.
Like, you're not submitting Ben Askren, I don't think.
That is true. But listen,
you're not out wrestling Ben Askren.
Listen, yeah, and I don't think Jorge's going to want to engage there. Like, that's not, it's not rocket science. Jorge's going to want to keep this fight standing.
But he's going to need to crack him early. He's going to crack him good.
I think it is one of those ones. I think if Jorge gets taken down in the first round, you know, once or twice, you know, gets back up, it's going to be a long night for him. It's
the winner to face Colby Covington if he beats Ruthless Robbie.
Yeah, I asked Colby about that, and I spoke to Colby, and you can chat the interview. I've actually launched a YouTube channel, just putting up the interviews here and there all over the shop. So it was interesting to say that, because Colby is very open to fighting his best friend in Masvidal, and he sort of sees it, you know, he says he should be next, which I totally agree with him. He should be getting the next title shot, but he does sort of see this as a semi-final sort of scenario. He's obviously fighting Robbie Lawler, and Ben Askren's fighting Jorge Masvidal. So the two winners face off, you know, for basically fighting Kamaru Usman. So it's going to be very interesting how it pans out.
Diego Sanchez's victory return. He's 2-0 in his last two fights, which is
it's crazy.
Yeah, he obviously got the one over Thundercat, and he got the win over Mickey Gall. Bit of a step up here against Michael Chiesa, mind.
Yeah, it is.
I don't see that one going well for him.
Yeah, I don't see this one going well for him. I think Chiesa will have too much length. He's an awkward guy to fight. He's very good in the ground. We've seen how good his chokes are. Obviously, you know, Diego's very, very well versed as well. But I think if you're going to get into a swing and battle, it's going to be a lot harder to connect than a 6'3" Michael Chiesa than, you know, a 5'10" guy. So I fancy Chiesa. I think he's a very awkward guy to fight against. I think this will could be the one where it stops Diego's final charge in that welterweight division.
Gadelha v. Marcos is a good fight. We've also got Alejandro Perez against Yadong Song, the man whose age is disputed every time he fights. But geez, I'm a big fan of Yadong Song, man. He is an animal. He is savage. What's he riding now? A six-fight win streak?
Six-fight win streak.
He's got 3 wins in the UFC.
21.
This is a big step up, you know. 21. This is a big step up for him. I feel it. But I think he's well capable of it. And yeah, that's pretty much everyone on the card. But we've got all our interviews out of the way, Noel. How many pay-per-views will this sell?
12.
I don't know anyone. Have you seen anyone say they're going to buy it?
No one. Like no one. I haven't heard anyone who's going to buy it. I think people probably will buy in the end when push comes to shove, if they're sitting in on a Saturday night, something like that. But I think you'll have a lot of, you know, hardcore fans just objecting to this and just probably going out in the piss on Saturday night instead of staying in to watch the fights. I can see that happening. I don't think it's going to be a good thing for the UFC on this side of the pond, and more obviously importantly BT Sports, because I think they might have to really reconsider this pay-per-view thing before we see Khabib Nurmagomedov and Dustin Poirier try to Abu Dhabi.
Is this the last time they'll do this? Like, could this be a one and done? It's trending so badly.
No, it's not. It's their intention is to take over pay per view market. They've actually. I'm not sure if you're aware of this.
No, I'm not.
They've WWE on BT Sport from next year, which they've also got over from Sky, and they're obviously going to charge for pay per views as well.
But do they not have the network or something that they can all watch it on over?
Yeah, you can watch the network apparently as well. If you buy, you can watch. It's just weird by the UFC, but they also charge Sky, you charge for pay per views. So BT are taking that mantle. We've seen them obviously with the boxing. They've a lot of fighters now and cards.
I've seen our good friend Gavin Casey talk about this. Yeah. Like, how are they going to charge us for Dylan White and stuff like this?
But. Yeah. Well, that's what they've been doing, and they're going to do it with the UFC. So I think they're really trying to push this pay-per-view market, even though it's not really existing over this side of the pond, and it's never been a model that's proven to be very successful. So I think it's a big mistake, and I think they're going to start outpricing fans and losing parts of the market here, which are, you know, it's a very sort of hostile environment here in mixed martial arts, and I think you need to be massaging people's arses instead of slapping them in so many words, because it's just not the right way to do it. And I think when things are so tumultuous, fractious in Irish mixed martial arts circles, especially here, more so than the UK, there's a big surge at the moment again. When it's here, it's just not a good thing, and I don't think it's going to go down too well. And you know, I think we've seen a major lack of interest really from a lot of the casual fans in mixed
even
martial
the diehard
arts.
Fans though. I don't even see the diehard fans going, yeah, let's buy this. Yeah. I just don't.
So I don't think it's a good idea. And listen, you know, I'm not going to go on any longer.
There's going to be a lot of viruses on computers come Sunday morning.
There will be, yeah. Hopefully the only thing there's viruses with.
Yeah, speaking of viruses and the potential of getting viruses, how's Tinder going?
That's all right.
Have you any success?
No, I've got rid of my Tinder Plus and stuff like that, so.
You've calmed it down.
Yeah,
no. Taking a back step.
I think I'll just get rid of it. It's not working out.
Wow.
Just going to go to more fights in the States, and the American girls will find her a lot easier to chat to, so.
Look, I think you're discriminating against the Irish girls. I think we can find...
Hit me up, like, they can tweet me and shit if they want, like.
DMs are open, girls.
Slide up in my DMs. There we go.
And I'm so sorry. I've been very low energy today. And I must say that Niall...
No, you look knackered, man. You look knackered.
Niall has been working all goddamn day as well. So, sorry if we aren't upbeat. Our usual upbeat selves.
I've been fucking upbeat. Speak for yourself. Yeah. I've had about 6 cups of coffee, though. That's why I'm buzzing all over. But, I've been here as well. It's tough game. I like your new runners today.
No, they're just... No, just cleaned them and then got them dirty in London again.
You look very camp.
Something I'm working on.
But listen, great piece as well on ESPN. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I know you had a lot of effort went into the piece and you put it together. You reached out. You got with Graeme. You went backstage with all the lads.
I can't thank Cage Warriors enough for everything they did. You know, I really wanted to get a lot over the platform they create to people. I think
definitely did. Yeah.
Got that out there, and look, I wouldn't have been able to do it unless the likes of Matt, Harry, and Graham, Ian, all those guys, Marsha, they all sorted me out with access and stuff like that. And honestly, that the interviews I did with Ross and Nicholas there, they'll stick with me for the rest of my life. It's a very intense situation, and they're both great representatives of the sport, and I just really hope whatever they're looking for, they get. But as we know, in this game,
cutthroat.
There are no guarantees, man. There are no guarantees, but I'd love to see them. I'd love to see them get rewarded for what they did.
Here. So, totally agree. Oh, my microphone just slipped out a little bit there. But yeah, no, totally agree. I think it's one of those nights, I think, where it'll live long in the memory, possibly because the way the fights ended, but we know the stories. We know what these guys put into it. I think, you know, a large percentage of the fans will do after reading your piece as well. You know, just fascinating stuff, fascinating stories.
We have a very exciting one lined up for my next ESPN one. Might have.
All right, cool. Don't give away too much.
No. Might have. Not guaranteed.
Looking forward to it, man. It was a great read. I really enjoyed reading it there this morning.
Ah, yeah, it's great. It's great to be on it, like, you know, featured on ESPN. Unbelievable, you know. It's,
yeah, hook me up. I heard they need a new interviewer.
Yeah, they're trying to get rid of me now, so they're trying to replace me.
put my name in there.
I need to go to bed because I have to wake up and do a desk shift tomorrow.
We're right in the middle of the city centre here in beautiful Dublin, Ireland, overlooking wonderful Dublin. It's going to be a bit of a trek home for you. You live out in the Sticks, right?
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Nearly in Meath now, for fuck's sake. Yeah.
Fucking hell, man.
But look, these things happen. Thanks very much. Thanks for listening, as always. Our numbers are fantastic. We look beautiful. We're both getting facelifts next week, so we hope another... will improve by another about 50% by the end of the year. You know, if they gave us a video podcast and we got fake abs and facelifts, I think we could do a bit.
I'm on Love Island next year.
That's the plan.
That's the word.
That is the plan. That's vicious rumors. But right, that's the end of it. Love yous loads.
It's long.
Yeah, love yous.
More to-dos, less time, and an infinite number of tools to keep track of. Sometimes doing business has never felt harder, but you don't need a miracle to hit your goals. You can just use HubSpot, because their all-in-one customer platform can make growing your business infinitely easier. Imagine this: high-quality leads, fast closing deals, wildly happy customers, and more benchmark-breaking quarters. It's not a miracle, it's HubSpot. Visit HubSpot.com to get started today.